If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of John, the 19th chapter. John, the 19th chapter. We're going to look at specifically the 30th verse, but we'll look at verses 29 and 30. We're in a series entitled Last Words, and we've been looking at the last words of Jesus on the cross and looking at the seven sayings that are recorded in the gospel. For 6 hours, he was there on the cross, and during those 6 hours, there were seven sayings that were recorded, and with every saying, we have assigned a word to that particular saying. The very first saying that he had was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," and we assigned the word forgiveness. And where he was offering forgiveness for those that were crucifying him, those who were jeering him and mocking him in the crowd. We shared that there was a huge circle of forgiveness and a circle wide enough to involve every one of us. And so the word of forgiveness was there. But we also talked about how that when he was crucified, there were actually three that were crucified that day. Jesus was in the center, and then there was a thief on his left and a thief on his right. And one of those thieves looked over to him and they said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, he says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And it was a word of salvation. And it was a word of salvation that is offering for every one of us. And while there on the cross, he helped solidify the salvation of this penitent thief. But then the third word that we had was as Jesus was dying there on the cross, he looked down and he saw his mother there and he took care of his mother. And he says, "Woman, behold your son." And he looked to one of his disciples, the disciple John, who was right there, and he says, "Behold your mother." And what he was doing was he was taking care of the future of his mother. And he said, "I want you to take care of her now that I am gone." And so the word there was honor. And here he was honoring his mother. And we talked about even our responsibility of honoring our families. And then we looked at the most difficult word of all, and that is when he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And the time when the sins of all the world were upon him, and he was experiencing all the anguish of hell that could be thrust upon him. And at that moment, it says that God even had to turn his face from his own son because he couldn't look on the sin. And that way he cried out, and we said that was a word of anguish from the cross. And it just helped drive home to us that from 9 to 12, the physical pain was almost unbearable. And from 12 to 3, you add to that the spiritual pain of when the darkness came and you felt all the sins of the world were placed on his shoulders. And then the fifth word we talked about 2 Sundays ago was a short phrase, and Jesus says, "I thirst." And in that "I thirst," it was a word that capsulized the suffering that he had gone through. And we talked about the physical thirst and then the spiritual pain that he was dealing with. But at the same time, it was also a word that he was completing the task. Because we talked about that when you're in a race, you don't talk about being thirsty until you've completed that race. And so when he says that, "I thirst," we understood even more so the suffering that he had, but we also began to get a glimpse of the victory. And that's where we come to the sixth word today. And this is a word of victory. And in this word, it is a word that's found in verse 30. But what I'd like for us to do is to read this passage, and we'll see his statement that he makes here. In verse 29, it says this. It says, "There was a jar that was full of sour wine stood there. And so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch, and they held it to his mouth. And when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." He said, "It is finished." It's what the choir just sang about. It is finished. Now, in English, that's three words. It is finished. In the Greek, it is one word. It's just one word. And in that one word he uttered from the cross, it was a word of victory. Now, it's interesting because when you look here and it says, when he received that wine, that sour wine, it was as if he wanted to moisten his lips so that he could utter this last word. And so as his lips were moistened, he was able to utter this last word, and it was, "It is finished." Now, if you looked in the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they said that he uttered a last cry, that there was a last cry, but they didn't say exactly what that last cry was. Well, most believe it's what John records, and that is, "It is finished." And so his last cry from the cross was, "It is finished." Now, the Greek word for this is tetelestai, tetelestai. Now, the word tetelestai means this. It means to bring to a close. It means to perform the last act, which completes a process. It means to accomplish. Look at that definition for a minute. So when someone says tetelestai, it means you bring an act to a close. It's the last act that I've done to complete a process. It means that I have accomplished a task. So when he says it is finished, he could have easily, in our interpretation, said it has been accomplished. It's finished. It's accomplished. It's all done. Now this phrase, tetelestai, was used during that day. It was used during that day in just some common language. For instance, when a servant was given a task to do, and once he finished his task, he would go back to his master and would say, tetelestai, it's finished. I've done everything that you wanted me to do. It's what our children do for us, isn't that right? When you assign them something, they come to you in humble obedience and say, tetelestai, it's finished. Yeah. But that's what a servant does. And he would do that to his master and say, tetelestai. It's the same word that a priest would use when they were trying to prepare a sacrifice. And when they got the sacrifice, it was just perfect and ready to be sacrificed. They would say, tetelestai, it's finished. It's ready. Everything's been accomplished. Ready to go. It's a word that an artist would use when an artist finished a painting. Tetelestai, it's finished. When a writer was writing a manuscript and came to the end, he would go, tetelestai, it's finished. To be straight with you, it's what I said when I finished my doctoral project. When I was typing up the last word of my doctoral project at Beeson, when I completed it and it was typed up and I sent in the final brief, I went to Janice and said, it's finished. Tetelestai. It is over with. And it's all been accomplished. And all the work is done. And what Jesus said was a word of victory. And when he says, tetelestai, he said, it is finished. So now what does it mean from the cross when Jesus says, it is finished? Well, let me just tell you a few things that we believe that this is what it means. First of all, it is that God's purpose is fulfilled. When he says it is finished, he is saying, listen, God's purpose is fulfilled. And it's interesting, if you trace his life and some of the words that Jesus has used, he's leading us right up to John 19:30. Look, in John 4:34, we'll put it on the screen. In John 4:34, and since it's talking about the woman at the well, I thought I'd preach on it since we had that a few times during GIC, right? But in the story of the woman in the well, when the disciples came back, if you remember the story, you heard it twice, so you should, but when the disciples came back, And they saw him talking to this woman, they asked him some questions, and then they brought him some food, and he says, no, I'm not hungry. And they said, hey, what do you mean you're not hungry? That's why we went to go get some food. And he says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work, to complete his work. This is where we get that word tetelestai. He says, what I'm called to do is to do his will and to accomplish or complete his work. And so that was near the beginning of his ministry. And then all of a sudden you come to John 17:4, and he's at the end of his ministry praying this prayer before his arrest. And in John 17, he's praying to the Father, and he says, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. He's all the way up to now, I've accomplished everything you've asked me to do. And there's a picture of anticipation as he's getting ready to go to the cross and to complete that work. And then 2 weeks ago, we looked at John 19:28, and it says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, it's that same word, said to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. And so when he realized that all the scripture was being fulfilled, and he was finishing that, he said, I thirst. And now he comes to 19:30, and in verse 30, he says, it is finished. God's purpose has been fulfilled. Now, the best thing when I remember the first time I ever read this phrase, it is finished, the thing that's so exciting about it is he didn't say, I am finished. He didn't say, I'm finished. It's not a sigh of resignation. It's not a moan of despair and giving up, I'm finished. No, it is finished. It's been accomplished. The purpose for which I came to fulfill has been fulfilled. Max Lucado says, it wasn't a yell, it wasn't a scream, it was a roar. It was a lion's roar. And it was like the roar of the Lion of Judah that was saying, it is finished. And so God's plan is fulfilled. So, well, what parts of his plan was fulfilled? Well, let me just highlight a bullet statement what this plan was fulfilled. First of all, it was God's plan concerning Jesus' death was now finished. It is finished. God's plan concerning Jesus' death was now finished. You can go all the way back to the book of Genesis and go to Genesis chapter 3 and see where God, after that first sin of Adam and Eve, began to make preparations to send his son to die on the cross. You can follow through the Old Testament prophecies. You can go all the way up to this point. And Jesus says, it is finished. God's plan has been fulfilled concerning his death. Number two, the ceremonial law of sacrifice was finished. The ceremonial law of sacrifice was finished. Listen, it didn't take much convincing to let people know that they were sinners. People understood that. They knew they were separated from God. The question is how do I get right with God? So God set up this sacrificial system where he says you take an animal, and when you kill the animal, you take the blood of that animal, and when you take the blood of that animal, and it will cover your sins. And so when the person took the animal and took it to be sacrificed, they then had a faith in the promises of God that God would forgive and cleanse those sins. And that worked. But the problem was, is people just kept sinning. And as you kept sinning, you had to keep doing more and more of these sacrifices, and it was on and on and on and on and on. And so what happened now when Jesus says, it is finished, he says, there don't need to be any more sacrifices. This is the ultimate sacrifice. This is the one sacrifice. And he says, I paid the penalty for all your sins. Number three, it is finished. The prophecies of the Old Testament were now fulfilled. Prophecies of the Old Testament were now fulfilled. All the prophecies of the Old Testament about Jesus were now fulfilled. It's finished. Number four. His suffering was finished. His suffering was finished. Physical, spiritual, emotional, that was finished. But then number five is the main one. And when he says it is finished, it means the work of man's redemption and salvation was now completed. The work of man's redemption and salvation was now completed. It is finished. Now, this is why it's a statement of victory. He said all the things that hell has thrown on him, and then especially those 6 hours on the cross. And after he'd endured all of that, he's getting ready to breathe his last breath. He says, it is finished. It's done. It's accomplished. See, the plan is complete. Man's salvation, man's redemption, it is there. Now, R.G. Lee, who was a great preacher in the 50s and 60s and was a pastor at Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. I loved his statement on here. He says the word tetelestai. He said, the greatest word ever uttered in the greatest moment in time by the greatest person who ever lived on earth, announcing the greatest fact to the greatest number of people, bringing the greatest blessing to the greatest multitude in earth and in heaven. It is finished. It declared the greatest single triumph in the history of the human race, and that is that the sin of man is put away by the sacrifice of Christ himself. The sin of man has been put away by Christ himself. In that word is really wrapped up the whole gospel. I mean, it's amazing. It would be interesting if someone said, can you summarize the gospel in one word? I'd have to look at them and say, tetelestai. That's it. It is finished. That's the gospel in one word. Jesus has done it all. He died on the cross for our sins. He wrapped up our salvation. He gives us the ground for our assurance. He gives us our hope for eternal life. Everything was right there when he says, it is finished. It is finished for time and eternity. It's a statement of victory. Man, God's purpose was fulfilled. I'm going to tell you the last thing. And that is, our sins are paid in full. Our sins are paid in full. Remember I told you that tetelestai is used a number of ways in that culture? Let me tell you one of the ways it was used in the culture. It was used by merchants. And merchants would use that to make a statement whenever you paid your debt in full. And so when you would owe money And then when you would pay that debt, they would then take those receipts and they would take that debt and they would write over that debt to Telestai, paid in full. Or today we would have a stamp and we would stamp paid in full. Have you ever paid something off? I hope some of you have. I know you've wanted to pay some things off, but you know when you've been paying for a long time on something, and maybe it was a house or a car or a college education or something that you purchased, and when you paid it and you sent that last check in, oh, it was a great feeling, wasn't it? And wasn't it a great feeling to be able to get a receipt back to say your balance is zero? And see, there's some of you that have never seen that before, and you long for that day. Yes, it can happen. But when you paid it off, and to be able to have someone just kind of stamp on that, paid in full. And when you see that stamp paid in full, it means you don't owe anything. It's all been covered. It's done. Finished. Paid in full. When he says it is finished, he says your sins are paid in full. It's done with. The debt is covered. He says, I have fully met the righteous demands of the holy law. And Jesus says, I have paid your debt in full. So he completed everything that God assigned him to do, and he paid our full debt of sin. He did it all. We say, why is this so important? Well, when he says it is finished, it has signaled that God has succeeded in accomplishing everything he designed to do in the life of his son, Jesus Christ. Every single thing that Jesus was to do, he did it. He demonstrated God's love for us. He revealed God's will for our lives. And he brought about a reconciliation with God that needs no supplement. Now, amazing that in his life, he showed us the love of God. That's incredible. He revealed God's will to our lives. That's incredible. And then he reconciled us to God. And he says, you don't need to add anything to it. It is finished, paid in full. And when you've got a bill that's been paid in full, you don't get a phone call later on and say, hey, well, you need to also do this and that. No, it's paid in full. It's done. And that means he's paid in full our sins. He's already done it. He's made all the payment that is necessary for our sins. And that means there's nothing that we can add to it. So when you think about it is finished, you can sit there and say, okay, Christ paid for my sins. That's great news. But you can also realize that this is your assurance of salvation. This is what you can rest on. Because see, so many times people make a decision for Christ, and then they go through life, and they go through some ups and downs, and they drop the ball at times, and they say, well, there must be more to this. There must be some things I need to add on to it to really be saved. Listen, folks, there's nothing you can add on to it. You can't add baptism on it. You can't add good works on it. Paid in full. It is finished. He's done it all. He's paid it all. Now, once he's paid it all, we want to live for him, and we want to take that next step of obedience and baptism, even as you saw these two do this morning. But their salvation was already secured because Christ paid it all. It is finished. Now, if that was not true, then the last words he would have had on the cross was, it's almost finished. It's partially done. But he didn't. He said, it is finished. It's done. That's it. That's all that's required. And the plan is complete. Reconciliation between God and man is there. Now the ball's in your court to make that decision. Will you accept it or will you reject it? He's done everything for you. I love the story about this eccentric evangelist, a guy by the name of Alexander Wooten. He had these tent revivals, and they wrapped up their weeks of revival, and he was taking down the tent, and some young man came up who had not gone to the service. He'd missed the services, and flippantly, he says, hey, can I get saved? What can I do to get saved? And Alexander Wooten was taking down the tent, and he says, too late. Too late. Too late. This guy says, whoa, what do you mean? What do you mean too late? I want to know, what can I do? What can I do to be saved? He says, too late. It's too late. And he just kept taking his tent down. This guy kept following him. He says, whoa, what can I do? What can I do to be saved? And he said, it's too late. It's already been done. Years ago, Jesus went on the cross and he did all that needed to be done. So it's too late for you to do anything. But here is the one thing that can happen, and that is to receive the gift that he wants to offer you. He has already done it all. You just need to receive it. And you see, when he says, "It is finished," those are great words. Because we realize that Jesus has really done it all. He's paid it all. One of the hymns I grew up with was, "Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all." You know, the last stanza, the fourth stanza of that hymn says, "And when before the throne I stand, in him complete." Think about that. "And when before the throne I stand, in him complete. Jesus died my soul to save, my lips still repeat." What that means is, when I'm standing before the throne of God and I'm looking at the controller of my eternal destiny, what's the one thing I'm going to say? "Jesus died my soul to save." That's it. That's all I need to repeat. Why? Because he said, "It is finished." Now, he's paid it all, folks. So if I can just put it in this term, the ball's in your court. And that is, what will you do with that? And so today, as we close our service, I want to invite you to respond to that incredible gift of love that he has given us. And if you've never received Christ as your Savior, if there's something you've been thinking about, praying about, wondering about, today could be the day that you make that statement. And you can come and make that decision and receive Christ as your Savior. And for others, it's a day where you say, "You know, I want this to be my church home. I mean, he paid it all for me. I've made that decision. I need to live for him." And so I'd love for you to come and become a part of this church and say, "This is where I want to be. I want to be a part of this fellowship, and I want to continue to grow." For some of you, it may be Jesus paid it all, and maybe he's asking me to do even more for my life. Maybe he's calling me to missions. Maybe he's calling me to ministry. Maybe this is something that he's been dealing with me, and yet today in this service, Danny, you like hit me right between the eyes and said, this is what I need to do. So whatever your decision may be during this time of invitation, keep in mind it is finished. He's paid it all. Now what he wants to do is for you to respond to what he has revealed to you.